So, today's message is on the subject of redemption. We'll look at Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, redemption is a glorious term of salvation. For redemption is the work of Christ, our Redeemer, who delivers believers from the slavery of sin and judgment. So, we'll look at three things concerning the redeemed. Redeemed from what? Redeemed by whom? And redeemed to what? What is God's purpose in this glorious work of redemption that is so important here? Redeemed from what? Well, look at Romans. We'll be looking at several passages of Scripture here. Let's look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, which tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this tells us that mankind is in slavery to sin. All have been slaves to sin. And the sinner then is under the sentence of death. For we read there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, since you're back in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 18 and verse 4, behold, all saints are mine, the soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die, he said. So that is a known portion for a long time. The soul that sins shall die. Now back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So here, the Apostle Paul is explaining to these Ephesian Christians what they once were, where they once were. They once were dead in trespasses and sin. He explained how that they once walked according to the course of the world. Who directed their way of life? As they yielded to the world, under the direction of the world. But now this word redeemed, the definition of the word redeemed, in fact, as we go back to look at the written, the word that is used here in the original, the Greek, agorazo. Agora means the market. Marketplace. Agorazo is to buy at the marketplace where slaves were sold. Back in those days, slavery was a common thing. There was a marketplace where the people could go and buy slaves. And they would buy a person as a slave to someone else to use as a slave for himself. That was quite a common thing back in those days. Now, in Rome, back to Romans again in chapter 7 and verse 14, we read where the Apostle Paul said, this is where he once stood, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Sold under sin, he's saying. That's right. And so he was sold into slavery, wasn't he? He's explaining what man is like. Sold under sin. So, to redeem someone And slavery is to buy them. But now, the difference between the use of that term now in the scriptures and what it was back in those days, they would buy a slave to make him another slave for yourself, but it's not so the way the term is used here for the believer, having been redeemed by the Lord Jesus, bought from slavery. And the word ex, there's another word used here, ex agorazo. This means to buy out of the market. And this is to set the slave free. Don't put him back into slavery. You buy him out of slavery that he may be free. And so that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. For all who would believe in him. He paid the price to redeem us out of the marketplace of sin. And he sets the sinners free. And Christ delivered the believing Jews from the law and its curse. Back in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 we read, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. So here we see that the Lord Jesus, it says he bought us what? Yes, from the curse of the law. What is that? Violence to God's righteous law. And over in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So see, those who were disobedient to the law of God, breaking the law, they were rebellious, and under the curse of the law. And so, Christ came to redeem. Of course, in a sense, not just that only the Jews, but in the sense we say that we have all sinned, broken the law of God. Is it anyone here who's never broken any of the laws of God's righteousness and holy expression? So, redeemed from what? Redeemed from slavery of sin and from the curse of the law. That's what he has redeemed us from. Now, redeemed by whom? Who is the one who has redeemed us? Well, Christ is our Redeemer. As a matter of fact, we sang a song this morning about this verse in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. You remember singing that song? Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So what he's saying here is that Christ, he says, is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He's the only one qualified to redeem us from the slavery of sin. No one else can do that. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 we read, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom. Yes, that is, he paid the ransom price. The Lord Jesus. The only one to do. And the reason he could do that and the advantage of his accomplishing that is, and that made him the only one qualified, is that, well, the scripture tells us in in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." That is, the Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin, but made to be sin for us. Well, that is, our sins were put upon him thereby when he bore the judgment at the cross. He paid our sin debt. He paid the ransom indeed for us. And so, now what was the price, however, that he paid in order to redeem us, to take us out of the slavery of sin? How much did he pay? What price did he pay? Well, we read there in Ephesians, says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So then, the price that he paid for us was not dollars and cents, as it were. Matter of fact, Peter explains that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." My, what a great price. Not with dollars and cents, not in silver and gold, but with his life's blood, as we read in the Old Testament. I think it's Leviticus 17:11, I think it tells us that life is in the blood. And remember on the cross, the blood that he shed there, when that spear entered him, it says, the blood and water poured out. He poured out his life blood there. So, that was the great price that he paid. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Well, tribe and every tribe and tongue and people and nation? Oh yes, that's God so loved the world, that is all of mankind. You know, people in years past, you know, they've been concerned about various nationalities and so on. And one of the things that's going to be a great thrill to us when we go to be with the Lord, we're going to see people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We're going to see people from a lot of the islands where we were. And it's going to be wonderful to see them. And also, turn to another passage here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where the Lord says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." That is, his life paid the ransom price. He ransomed us from the slavery of sin. And he gave us eternal life. In Christ, we have eternal life. So we have redemption of our souls and are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Well, back in Ephesians here again. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 we read, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Just saying, hold on there. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, Paul writes, Well, let's go back to verse 20, begin with verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Oh, a lot of people are concerned about these bodies, right? They do wear out. They don't last too long here, do they? But he says he's going to give us a new body. And that is the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the redemption of our body. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, turn to Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it might be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Here he's telling us that the Lord Jesus is able to give us a new body. Well, when Paul writes Corinthians about the resurrection, in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, there's going to be a glorious change that's going to take place. And redeemed by whom? Well, it's explained that this is by the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said there in Philippians chapter 3, and verse 20 says, we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Think of all, he's already made a great change, hasn't he? For our soul. Saved our soul and given us eternal life. But our citizenship then is in heaven, but we're waiting for his coming, and he'll take us into himself. And what he's going to do is going to give us a new body. And it'll have to be a new one, as Paul explained in 1 Corinthians. It'll have to be a new one that's going to last for eternity. And we've seen now we're redeemed from what? Redeemed by whom? Now, redeemed to what? What's the purpose of this redemption? Well, the purpose of his redemption, to redeem us from the slavery of sin, that he might save us from sin and make us a new creation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, for what? Everything has become new for what all? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, which says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, he has redeemed us, he saved our souls, and what purpose does he have? He explains here. We're his workmanship, and created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, we've been redeemed for what? For some good works, as we can see it's explained here. Now, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul says, speaking of Jesus Christ, says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good work. Oh, this redeeming work, that we might be zealous for good work. Now, what is our goal? What do we think God's purpose is? Are we concerned? Are we deeply concerned about God's creative work? He's created us to make us new creation in Christ Jesus. He's called us to be sons of God and created us for good works. And Paul says, zealous for good works. What is our real goal and purpose in life? The good works, say, well, what are the good works? Those according to God's will that would glorify Him. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, which says, for you were bought at a price. Redeemed, he's saying there. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Here again, the purpose of his redeeming work is to glorify God. And how can we glorify Him? By obeying His Word, following the purpose that He has outlined in His Word, making that our life's purpose. Now let's look at a few other passages here as we want to close in a few minutes. Matthew chapter 22, and verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That will glorify the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, let's look at another passage here that has a good statement for us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Aye. The Scriptures give us a clear picture of God's purpose and God's plan for this new creation. It's obvious that that could not be accomplished by the unsaved and the unredeemed. Those still enslaved to sin could not glorify God, could not please Him, could not function according to His will. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So here we see a further purpose for the redeeming work. What have we been redeemed for? For what? To serve Him. And one of those things he says, that through love, serve one another. Where are we going to get an example of this kind of service? Well, let's read the Gospels carefully. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, His whole earthly walk was to serve others. He came not to be served, but to serve others. That was his goal and his purpose. God manifested in the flesh. And what a beautiful picture of a servant he gives us. And in back to Revelation and the closing passage here, we'll go back to Revelation chapter 1. Well, we notice that passage in Revelation chapter 5. Remember that verse, chapter 5 and verse 9, where it says, referring to the Lord Jesus, said, "You're worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Oh, there's a coming event. Incidentally, the elders were talking recently about some messages for the future. And one of the messages soon is going to be on the millennium. And what's going to be involved in that millennium? Well, what did we read here? It says, "And we shall reign on the earth." So there's a great deal to be done by those who have been redeemed. And in chapter 1 of Revelation, in verse 6, let's read verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to our God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, what have we been redeemed for? Well, he talks about a king and priest, a priesthood. So, are we serious about this function? Well, when we consider the price that he paid for our redemption, you know, you wonder what it would be like back in the olden years when mankind was a slave, you know, certain slavery, and at the market where there would be kind of an auction, I suppose, or a price put up, and someone would come in and pay a big price in order to buy that slave. And that slave realized what a big price, and they'll, "Oh, he paid such a big price for me. How can I really serve him as I ought to? Thought he would really be a good servant." Well, no doubt that's the way a lot of the old slaves felt. But what about the sinner who was lost and bound for death and hell? But to realize that Christ Jesus has redeemed us from slavery of sin, death and hell, now what should we say? How should we feel about that? "Oh Lord, here I am, your possession. I've been bought with such a price. How can I glorify you? How can I serve you?" Is that our attitude? Is that our lifestyle now? Well, let's